Magandang araw, Podmates! Howie Severino muli na nagpapaalala na nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Maraming ganap sa ating politika. Dapat ba tayong mabahala sa bangayan ng Marcos at Duterte? O mababaw at pansamantalang alitan lang ito? Anong nangyayari sa Unity Team? Kasama natin ngayon si Dr. Aris Arugay, political scientist at chair ng Political Science Department ng UP Diliman, para magbigay linaw sa ating magulong politika. Magandang araw sa inyo, Aris, at salamat sa pagpapaunlak sa aming imbitasyon.
Magandang araw, Howie. Thanks for having me.
Prof, no, there's a lot to unpack here, no? But I'll just lay the groundwork para malinaw din sa ating listeners kung ano yung pinag-uusapan natin. Nung nag-umpisa itong bangayan nila dating Pangulong Duterte at Pangulong Bongbong Marcos, naging meme kaagad, no? Ito raw ang tunay na drug war, no? Polvoron o cocaine versus fentanyl, no? Ilabas na raw ang popcorn dahil sa entertainment aspect nito, no? But after a few days, no, nagkakumakalat na yun ng iba't ibang chismis, kung ano yung mga posibleng mangyari, may mga gumagamit ng salitang kudeta, etc. No? So, Prof, no? Is this more than a temporary distraction? Ano yung pwedeng mangyari ngayon sa pamahalaan? Paano maapektuhan ang taong bayan?
We may consider them the two most powerful political dynasties at the moment. Hindi naman ito forged ng mahabang panahon, no? This was really a convenient conglomeration of mutual interest, no? But at the same time, alam naman natin the restoration of the Marcos dynasty at the peak of political power in the country was occasioned by former President Rodrigo Duterte himself, no? So, I mean, he made the Marcos brand very palatable to the Filipino public once he assumed the presidency in 2016. Hindi naman natin sinasabi na yung bangayan ng mga magkakaalyansa, present naman yan, if we will look at our political history, wala naman alyansa na hindi talaga nag-aaway na parati na lang batin, no? But what is really strange is bakit isinasa publiko masyado yung kumbaga parang dirty laundry at mudslinging. This is, I think, what is the difference, no, compared to previous alliances before, no? Medyo hindi lang siya in public, but the allegations are quite, to say the least, very unstatesmanlike, unpresidential, and sabi na natin gutter language, no, kanal. And this is very unbecoming of supposedly a former head of state and the current head of state.
Okay, Aris, no, I want to pick up on that because itong sinasabi mo ng unstatesmanlike, gutter language, etc. Well, we've been used to that, no? And I guess if you're President Duterte or former President Duterte, it was actually an effective behavioral strategy on his part, if you would call it a strategy, you know? I mean, you know, people see this as being authentic. So, parang hindi masyadong issue para sa kanya and itong mga followers ng pagiging unstatesmanlike, yung gumagamit ng profanity. It's actually worked to his benefit, no? But ang tanong ko rito, is there a real game plan here or is he just releasing emotion? Ano yung posibleng objective dito, especially since mukhang hindi naman sila masyadong nag-uusap as a family about their tactics, no? I mean, if you believe Vice President Sara Duterte, who says that she never spoke to her brother Sebastian, yung mayor of Davao, na Sebastian Duterte, who called for President Bongbong Marcos's resignation, and then she has not said anything negative about the president, and in fact, she was even assigned to be a caretaker leader while during the recent state visit to Vietnam of President Marcos. No, so parang magulo yung nangyayari, parang saan ba patungo ito?
From what I observe, no, alam natin that since last year, and sometimes you can even trace in the beginning of the Marcos Jr. administration, ang tanong kasi natin, is this really an alliance of equals? The posturing of the Dutertes is that they made it possible for the Marcos dynasty to be restored. And the victory of Marcos Jr. would not have been possible if not for Sara Duterte deciding to slide down to the vice presidency. May pruweba naman dito kasi according to public opinion polling, when Sara was still in the running for the presidency, lamang siya, no? Kay Bongbong Marcos. And some statements of Sara Duterte, the vice president, mentioned that to implied na parang kung hindi ko ginawang desisyon yon, hindi magiging presidente yung nakaupo ngayon. No? So there seems to be this perception that yung mga Dutertes yung bumubuhat sa at may totoong kapangyarihan. And I think those in the Marcos side of the alliance has decided that the partnership should not be skewed towards the dynasty who is not actually in power right now. No? So parang over a series of perhaps deliberate decisions, there was what I observed is that talagang parang may attempt really in my campaign to disempower the Dutertes. No? So for example, Sara Duterte wanted the defense portfolio. She did not get it. I mean, you don't need to be a political scientist to figure out why, no? Bakit mo ibibigay yung defense portfolio, no? Na ikaw yung may pinaka malapit na relasyon sa sandatahang lakas, no? Sa isang constitutional successor. That's one.
Nagtampo si Vice President Sara Duterte doon publicly, di ba? She released a statement saying she was promised this and it was not given. This is very early. This is in the very early days of the administration.
Right, right. And pagkatapos naman noon, nalipat naman yung issue sa confidential funds, no, na hindi pinagbigyan, no? And then if you notice the cabinet makeup of Marcos Jr., it's a far cry from the heavily militarized cabinet of Rodrigo Duterte, no? And some of the quote-unquote Duterte appointed generals, no, nilipat at the moment si NSA Anyo na lang tsaka si peace advisor na lang yung natira, no, of the Duterte appointed generals. Apart from the confidential funds, it seems like nagkaroon ng policy switches din, no, si President Marcos in terms of key policy legacy supposedly of the Duterte administration, the pivot to China, the bloody war on drugs, NTF-LCAC, and quite recently yung ICC case, no? So what we observe is that gradually parang dinidutertize yung politika sa Pilipinas, and this is why President Duterte had to of course, he might not have organized it, pero yung idea nito na going back to yung kanyang doubling down on his base, no? Kaya yung nagkaroon na rally sa Mindanao, and now talks of seceding, no? All of this is really to rally the base. Kasi alam naman natin that Duterte really has no taste for what they call Imperial Manila politics. So bumalik sila dun sa kanilang reliable base, which is in Mindanao.
Okay, Aris, I want to ask you some of the urgent questions about the immediate future, no? Because I guess that's what a lot of people are worried about, to the extent that people are worried, no? Ano ba yung danger or risk na kakampihan ng ibang elemento sa militar si dating Pangulong Duterte? Because he actually addressed the military, no? During his rally in Davao, no? Many of us heard that. Saying na papayagan ba ng militar na galawin yung saligang batas, and of course yun din ang isang konteksto kung bakit niya tinawag na drug addict itong si Pangulong Marcos, no? I guess appealing to, you know, the law enforcement base that he still has, if he still has one, no? What are the risks accompanying those kinds of charges, no? I mean, are they real, or is this just a lot of hot air on the part of a former president?
Oh, Howie, I think indeed it seems like former President Duterte is not living in the 21st century, no? And why do I say that? Because while there have been military coups in our neighbors, so Thailand, Myanmar, ang Philippine history naman, we've never had a successful military-led coup in our history. Wala. Puro yan failed. And the only time military intervention, undue military intervention in settling a legitimacy crisis occurred was in 2001, no? Yung Hedsa Dos. But the military came in there reactively at late, no? Na nakita na yung groundswell of people, and then the institutions have taken a back seat, na abort yung impeachment trial. Dun nila nakita na kailangan nilang makialam, no? But for them to instigate anything at this moment, particularly you have a government that's been elected with a majority mandate, yung notion na may legitimacy deficit, wala dun eh. And it tells you that if anything, coups in the country will only be successful with popular support. On the other hand, we must also ask, does the military have an appetite to rule? They have no experience in ruling the entire country. Kung ako yung professional na general, hindi ako trained at hindi ko rin aatimin na mamunos dito sa magulong Pilipinas na ito, ano? So I mean, to invite the militaries, of course, again, conduct unbecoming of not only a former president, but a citizen of the country that should respect the constitution and the rule of law. No, but we all know that rule of law has always been the challenge, no, with former President Duterte, even when he was president. But let me just say na this invites possibly, no, instability na hindi natin kailangan sa bansa natin sa ngayon, no? At lalong dapat hindi natin naririnig sa isang alyansa na ang tanging kampanya lang nung eleksyon ay unity. Eh, yung pa hindi pa makuha, di ba? So I think we must trust, no, that the military itself is professional, and the military should not listen to those that have no, sabihin na natin, no legitimate authority to tell them what to do, no? Kasi sa tingin ko, no, the military itself, due to many decades of reform, has been at its most professional level. In fact, ang orientation na nga nila, external defense, di ba? So why would you drag them again to the years in which they participate in internal politics? Eh, unang-una, they're not trained to do that. Pangalawa, hindi naman nila trabaho yun. Trabaho yun ng mga politiko, and apparently our political elites are not doing their jobs.
Many analysts, no, would agree with you na, you know, the chances of a military coup succeeding are very slim or slim to none, no. However, pwede pa rin may mga elements diyan na manggulo, no, which might be the goal, no, or at least the threat na manggulo. So meron bang elemento sa military na maaring kumampi or to go along, huh, with any kind of a plan or even nudge, no, to do something crazy like that?
Ang challenge sa civil-military relations sa Pilipinas is always the undue influence, particularly of those who are no longer in active service, no, sa military mismo, no? Kaya nakita natin minsan kahit retirado na, malaki pa rin yung sway. And we all know that Duterte has highly favored, no, the military during his term. And we also know that the Marcos Jr. administration is trying to finally reform the military and to make it a professional one, even addressing some of the problems na pinabayaan ng mga previous administrations like the pension system. So sa tingin ko, yes, there might be those who could be convinced, but the larger question is, kahit naman magkaroon ng mga military adventures in politics na to, kaya ba yan suportahan ng mga publiko, no? Kaya ba yan suportahan ng mga taong bayan? Because it will have any chances of success, kailangan may popular support. At hindi lang yon, will they be seen as legitimate? Kasi what basically former President Duterte is asking the military is to grab power in a country na may consensus tayo that the only legitimate way to transfer power is through elections. At wala namang bahid so far, no, na alam natin that the 2022 elections was an illegitimate exercise of the people's will. No, so sa tingin ko, baka yun nga ang objective eh, para, you know, shake lang the foundations and to throw a monkey wrench to a government that is was supposedly elected by a majority of the electorate, no, to cause trouble, to cause paranoia, which I think, no, it begs the question, no, para kaninong interest ba nila ginagawa to? Kasi kung pansarili na lang nila, then they cannot be called political leaders nor representatives nor servants of the people.
Okay, well, yun na nga, no? Mukhang hindi masyado nag-resonate sa publiko yung calls for President Marcos to resign. Mukhang wala naman din tayong naramdaman na enthusiasm for a military coup to end you know, this particular administration. Meron pang calls for Mindanao to secede. May mga political leaders sa Mindanao na nagsasabing, no, that's not a good idea either. Kumbaga, all of these calls, no, by the Dutertes, at least the Dutertes in Davao, si former president Duterte and his son si Baste, are falling flat, no? So there's also, do you think there's also a risk that they could actually be like wasting whatever political capital they have, no, by making calls, by trying to do things na hindi naman mag-a-appeal sa publiko, except for, I guess, the crowds that show up at their rallies?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a gamble, but I also don't want to totally leave out the idea that the Dutertes really think that, you know, they have so much political capital that they are engaging in risky behavior by throwing it away. We all know that President Duterte had higher approval ratings by the time he left office than during the time that he assumed office, which has never happened in any Philippine president since public opinion polling began in the country. But at the same time, kung ikaw ay dating presidente, paano mo ba gustong matandaan ka ng taong bayan, no? By doing such, no, insinuating certain these things na so far, wala namang buy-in, you're actually casting yourself to further irrelevance, no? Baka mangyari na lang yan, you just continue megaphoning all of these things and no one listens anymore. Kasi sa totoo lang, ang gusto ko rin tanungin, no, dun sa mga nag-aahangat nito, di ba tayo napapagod? Kasi ang lahat ng kapitbahay natin sa ASEAN, lalagpasan na tayo. Economically, supposedly, no, maganda yung ating conditions, with the exception of course of inflation and unemployment and inequality. Pero yung parating sinasabi sa akin, no, ng mga tagalabas ng bansa, those who are observing us, is that the politics, it's the quality of your political elite. And thus the question, no, if you're any Filipino citizen, ito pa ba, do these people still speak for you on your behalf? Kasi kung hindi na, then we must let them know. I mean, what else is new? We've heard all of these things before. What else can they offer more, unless yun na nga, they're only preaching to the choir and they're only mobilizing the same true believers and not really the silent majority, supposedly.
Well, yun na nga ang posibleng mangyari dito, no, na mag-iingay sila ng mag-iingay, hindi naman nagre-resonate sa buong bansa, no, itong mga calls nila for this kind of change, no. Sa dating pangulong Duterte, despite, sabi mo nga, record high approval rates when he exited his office, no, parang looking back, there just seems to have been a series of strategic errors, no, if you just kind of try to analyze his rhetoric and actions. He didn't want BBM to succeed him or have any chance of succeeding him. Then why take the trouble of kind of helping rehabilitate the Marcos image, you know, with the hero's burial and speaking so highly of the father. And then on the part of Sara naman, despite her high approval ratings then before the election and before they decided to join forces, slid down to VP, no? And as a result, you know, she yung nanalo yung ayaw ng tatay niya, no? So they kind of planted the seeds of this kind of conflict during the campaign itself. So parang there just seems to be so much dissonance, no, on the part of the Dutertes when it comes to how they are going to relate to the Marcoses, no? Kasi kung ayaw talaga ni dating Pangulong Duterte, why join forces at all? Kung may malaking chance naman na mananalo si Sara without teaming up.
Right. Definitely, I can distinctly remember when Duterte started his presidency, a lot of, you know, my colleagues in academia were saying na, oh, Duterte is the most brutal, fiercest, strong man the country has ever seen, no? Kaya lang, over time, no, nakikita natin that this is a strong man who doesn't seem to have a long-term plan. Kasi yung mga counterparts niya sa ibang bansa, no, yung Hugo Chavez, Evo Morales, or the one from Turkey, they really made sure that they prolonged themselves in power, no? They changed the constitution that allowed them to go beyond their terms of office. They made sure the institutions will be on their side. And for a moment, Duterte, if you look at the Supreme Court right now, a majority are Duterte appointees. If you look at the constitutional commissions right now, independent ones, they're all appointed by Duterte. No? So unfinished at hindi mukhang hindi naayos yan. So therefore, it seems like Duterte himself, President Rodrigo Duterte, did not really strategically plan. No? And I think at the end, the Dutertes are realizing that in Philippine politics, it is such a winner-take-all scheme that it doesn't matter na ikaw yung nagpanalo nung presidente nung nakaraang eleksyon. What matters is, sino yung presidente? Kasi kung sino yung presidente, sa kanya umiikot yung kapangyarihan. And I think the most strategic blunder was to really allow another dynasty to take power when you were supposed to be at the peak of it, no? Kumbaga, if that is the case, really, what could have happened is that Sara Duterte should not have accepted the vice presidency and should just have run as president. But of course, these are all hypotheticals. What I'm saying is, at the end, no, you might be a very powerful political personality, but if you are not president, then you don't have really real power at all. And your political power will always be precarious kasi hindi ikaw yung nakaupo sa Malacanang.
Well, so I guess in a way you're saying parang naisahan ng mga Marcos ang mga Duterte, no? Kasi I guess because one of the only reasons or perhaps the major reason that Sara slid down to VP is she was expecting that she would get the Marcos' support when it was her turn to run for president, no? So in a way the Dutertes had to trust the Marcoses. So like that could have been another strategic mistake, no? By trusting another dynasty to share power with you, because there are other Marcoses now and Romualdeses that are in line, that think that they're in line, and now have a strategic advantage, no? So in a way, parang despite all the advantages that the Dutertes have had, including yung high approval ratings at the end of the Duterte administration, in a way, naisahan sila ng mga Marcos.
Well, the Marcos dynasty has been existing and has been in the national political arena for a much longer time than the Dutertes. Let us remember the Duterte dynasty was mainly a locally based one. and its first foray into national politics was only in 2016. On the other hand, the Marcoses are, ano yan, ilang henerasyon yan eh, di ba? And throughout a period of time, and not all dynasties are equal, but in terms of sa tingin natin political acumen and political skill, if I were to assess the different dynasties, the Marcoses really are way more advanced in terms of experience, in terms of the many political battles that they have to fight. And on the other hand, it seems like the Dutertes, and even when President Duterte was president, still seems to not totally understand how national level politics work, and how the constellation of different political forces, of different political elites, defines Philippine politics. No, hindi naman yan yung parang, oh, presidente ako, ang lahat ng sasabihin ko mangyayari. That's the problem. We did not really see that. So even if President Duterte said something, most of the other allies when he was president, and even like, let's say yung military, he wanted a pivot to China. But some in the military would say na, we don't think so. So therefore, the Balikatan exercises continued, the relations with the US and Western allies continued, despite the hard sell of Duterte to shift to China and Russia. The military didn't pay him any attention, and he's commander-in-chief supposedly.
That's it for now, Podmates. Marami-rami pa tayong hihimayin. Itutuloy natin ang diskusyon bukas, kasama pa rin ang political scientist na si Dr. Aris Arugay.